with technical difficulties. Anyway.
Hello, everyone. Oh, my goodness. What is this? Chris, what is this? What's going on here? This is amateur. All right, well, that balances out. Oh, and no, it's still gone. Anyway.
I'm your blues man. That's what I am. I'm here to do whatever I can.
I think we're good.
A little disco.
Anyway. Sorry about that, guys. Nothing wrong with a little bit of disco for your day. Chris, what are you up to?
Spent the whole day watching a TV, this trade deadline. So for the last hour, I've been running around trying to get a little days of work of being outside and living life instead of being inside the house watching TV all day and seeing some trades go down.
What time did you wake up this morning?
7:55. I wanted to be there for the 8 o'clock show. Die Hard. Yeah.
Nice.
I regret it.
Very
I wish
nice.
I did like 8:30.
I regret it every year, but I keep doing it. Like no matter how boring and awful it is, I'm gonna keep watching it every year.
For sure.
All right, no time like the present now. Joining us on the line is a man who I've worked with over the years at Sports Haze and the Hockey Guys, and now he's with Hockey Buzz. Doing a little bit of coverage for the New Jersey Devils and the Columbus Blue Jackets. We have Todd Cordell. Todd, how you doing there, man?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Not too bad.
Pretty good.
Todd,
pretty good.
Where did you watch the deadline all day?
I was just in my house, in my living room. I got my phone and laptop all charged and set up and was just there all day.
Yeah, Todd's a very popular guy, ladies and gentlemen. He's always on his phone answering a lot of text messages and a lot of notifications. He's a very cool guy. Today, Todd, one trade that was made near the end of the deadline that didn't trickle in until later was the Anaheim Ducks acquiring James Wisniewski and a third-round pick from the Columbus Blue Jackets for Rene Bork, William Karlsson, who was a second-round pick in 2011, and another second-round pick. Todd, your initial thoughts on the deal that sends Wisniewski to an already stacked Anaheim Blue line?
Well, first and foremost, I think this is a really good trade for the Anaheim Ducks. Their blue line is absolutely stacked after getting Wisniewski. They can run out of top six of Wisniewski, Vatanen, Fowler, Lindholm, Beauchemin, and Simone Dupre. Wisniewski will play in the top four. He can play big minutes. He can quarterback power play effectively. He produces at even strength. He's just a very good all-around player. And for Columbus' perspective, I don't even know why they wanted to trade Wisniewski. In my opinion, he was the best defenseman on the team, but for some reason they didn't seem too high on him. And I don't think they got the best return. If you compare Wisniewski's numbers to Yandle's over the last 3 years, they both have a .87 points per 60 on even strength, and their 5-on-4 numbers are pretty much the same. And Yandle obviously hauled in Duclair more in a first, whereas Wisniewski brought in a good prospect, a bad contract, and a second. So I think the Ducks did very well getting Wisniewski, and they're going to be tough to beat come playoff time.
Hey, Todd, Chris here. Can you tell Detroit Red Wings fans what they got in Merrick Zidlitsky, what type of player he is and what he can do for that team?
His best days are definitely behind him, but he's still a very effective player. He's not the quickest guy, but he can get around okay. He makes a good first pass. He has a cannon of a shot. Sometimes he shoots it, tries to force it through traffic, and doesn't get it through. But when it does, it usually results in a good scoring chance. I think he'll really help out Detroit's blue line. That's one of the aspects they could have definitely improved on. And he's also a right-handed shot, which they desperately needed. So I think he'll give them some depth back there. He can play some minutes, help out offensively. And the cost really wasn't much to get him. So I think it was a low-risk, high-reward move for the Red Wings.
Todd, Minnesota made a few moves today, acquiring Jordan Leopold from Columbus. And they also got I completely forgot his name. Oh, my goodness.
Chris Stewart.
Oh, yeah, Chris Stewart. And they gave up a second-round pick for Stewart. Does Minnesota think these moves are going to help them in terms of securing a playoff spot and actually making the postseason?
Well, I think Minnesota was going to make it regardless. I don't think these moves are going to be too pivotal. Chris Stewart, he has potential to be good, but more often than not, he's not the greatest. But if you look at what they gave up, a second-round pick a few years down the line, it wasn't really a big price to pay considering what Buffalo was rumored to be asking for all along. So if Stewart actually shows up and plays kind of like he did in Colorado, where I think he had 50 points or so, he'll be a nice addition in their middle six. As for Leopold, I think it's more of a feel-good story than anything else. At this point in his career, he's nothing more than a 6th-7th defenseman. I think he was 40% possession player with Columbus. They weren't the greatest possession team, but he wasn't exactly helping in that aspect. So I think he'll just be a limited minutes kind of guy, just a veteran with experience. I don't think either guy will make too much of an impact, but I think they helped improve Minnesota's depth, and I think they're a team that could surprise some people come playoff time.
Todd, in your personal opinion, what team do you think won the deadline? I mean, we kind of know the losers. On Twitter, people were saying the New Jersey Devils because they gave up so many players and just kind of got draft picks, and you can't really judge that right now. But what teams do you think won this deadline, even though there's a lot of depth moves?
If you go big picture and include the last few days, Chicago and the Rangers would definitely be up there. But if we're focusing more on today, I think I really like what the Anaheim Ducks did. I think they bought a very good player at a low price in James Wisniewski. Ben Lovejoy is a pretty serviceable defenseman, but Simone Dupre is as good or better by most metrics, and he's 8 years younger. So I think they did very well getting him as well. And I don't think Holzer was much of an addition. I think that was more just to make the cap of everything work. But I think I really like what they did remodeling the blue line. And like I said, their top six is very good now. There's not really a big weak spot. And I think that'll be very valuable come playoff time.
So one team that stood out for me at the deadline this year was Tampa Bay, and how they were able to trade Brett Connolly to Boston for 2 second-round picks, not to mention acquire Braden Coburn, who was arguably one of the best available defensemen at this year's deadline. They traded Radko Gudas in a first and a third. Do you think Tampa Bay is starting to build the pieces that they need to be a real contender in the playoffs this year in the East?
Yeah, I love what Tampa Bay's been doing the last few years. They've built up a very good nucleus of young, talented forwards, and they can score with the best of them. So I think adding a defenseman like Braden Coburn, who's good in possession, he's good defensively, he'll chip in offensively here and there, I think he'll really help them out defensively, which is more of what they needed. And as you mentioned, Connolly, because of all the young forwards they have, he was kind of blocked in the depth chart, and I don't think he was ever going to really pan out into anything there. So I think in Boston, he'll have more of an opportunity to play, and Tampa Bay definitely got good value for him, getting a second-round pick this year in a good draft, and a second-round pick next year in what should also be a pretty good draft.
So, Todd, the Columbus Blue Jackets, as we all know, they aren't going to make the playoffs, and last year they were one of the best teams. They were one of the most fun teams to watch in the playoffs last year, and they've got a great nucleus of young talent. And injuries weren't on their side this year. But do you think next year there's a way they can make the playoffs, or do you think this is just part of the growing pains of a young team and they're going to miss the playoffs the next couple times and maybe they'll make it? Or do you think phrase it like this, do you think they're going to be a consistent playoff team here, or do you think they're still going to be this team that struggles to make the playoffs and is in their lottery run?
I think there's a couple of big issues with them that they need to fix. I think they can compete next year, but they need to upgrade the blue line. They don't have a lot of very good puck-moving defensemen. Wisniewski was one of those guys, and they moved him for pennies on the dollar. Ryan Murray's another one of them, but he's struggled to stay healthy throughout his entire career, so it's tough to rely on him. So they're going to need to bolster the blue line. I also think they need to upgrade their bottom six. They have guys like Jared Bull regularly dressing, playing 3-4 minutes a night, not doing much of anything. And I think that in today's NHL, with how hard it is on players, with how good and fast the game is, it takes a lot out of you to get top guys if they're playing a ton every night. And with guys like Jared Bull in the bottom six, Johansson and company are kind of relied upon to play more than they probably should be. So I think if they upgrade the bottom six and get some help on defense, they have a good core that should keep them in the playoff conversation going forward.
Mm-hmm. Todd, what's it say about the trade market that a guy like Antoine Vermette can be had for a first-round pick? And no offense to Vermette, who I know is a productive player and can put up some good numbers in the league, but are we really getting to a point where these fringe second-liners are now so valuable that teams have no option but to give up their top picks?
Yeah, I think that's what we're seeing in today's NHL. Obviously, there's a lot of good teams mixed in the same bunch, and everyone's looking for that edge to kind of separate themselves a little bit. So what happens is good players get bring in great price, great returns, and that's what we saw with Vermette. Like you said, he's a fringe second liner, maybe a third liner, but because so many teams can vet him because of his versatility, and because everyone's looking for that little bit of an edge for the playoffs, I think that drove up the price. And with the way the CBA is right now, I think that's kind of something we'll see going forward as well.
Last question for me, Todd. What do you think about the Montreal Canadiens' acquisitions this deadline?
I like what they did. Their blue line, to me, I know Nathan Beaulieu and Greg Patern were playing pretty well lately, but I think they did well acquiring Jeff Petrie because he'll give them some solid, reliable minutes. He can drive possession. He won't get a ton of points, but he can skate, move the puck up ice, and take them in the right direction. And I think he'll ease some of the pressure off PK Subban and Andrei Markov, who have been logging some ridiculous minutes. So I think having him will allow them to distribute it more evenly. I also like what they did with the bottom six. Torrey Mitchell and Flynn, they should help their upgrades over Manny Malhotra, in my opinion. And obviously, come playoff time, there's a lot of guys that are banged up in every position. So getting depth is never a bad thing.
Last question for me, Todd, and thank you for coming on the show today. We discussed it a little bit on Thursday's episode of the show, but we were kind of sidetracked by the Clarkson trade. Jaromir Jagr is now with the Florida Panthers. And so far this season, he wasn't half bad. He had 29 points before the trade, and then he scored in the opener with Florida. He led the Devils in shot attempts. Is Jagr a guy who can help this Panthers team, you know, make a little bit of an impact in the postseason? And do you see Jagr playing beyond this year?
Absolutely, I think he can help. If you look at his underlying metrics, most of them would suggest he's a second, if not first liner. His point totals weren't incredibly high, but he was playing on a very low-scoring team that plays a defensive system, obviously. So I think that skewed his numbers a bit. I think he'll be a huge addition to Florida. He'll fit right into their team. They have a lot of good young centers. They're a pretty good possession team. He'll help out in that regard. And like I said, they're a very young team, so his experience will certainly help out the younger guys. As for the latter part of that question, Jagr seems to want to play as long as he's still effective. And he certainly is still effective. So I think he has at least another year or two. And Dale Tallon was making comments saying he'd love to see Jagr stay in Florida for a year or two. So that's something I could see happening.
Thank you very much, Todd. That is Todd Cordell at Todd Cordell on Twitter. You can follow him. He writes for Hockey Buzz. Thanks for coming on today, man. Hope to see you soon. That is Todd there. Chris, what did you think of Todd?
Good guy. He knew everything that was going around the league. He knew everything, yeah. So it's good to have hockey minds like that. And every time we asked him a question, he always had reason for his answer. And it always got like that. There's a lot of people that just put the answer they see on Twitter all over the place. And it's I love his vlogs, too. He's a great writer. So it was a nice guest to have on.
Yeah, I've enjoyed getting to know Todd over there. He's a pretty, he's one of the first guys I remember really talking about analytics with. He, I remember he wanted to get into it early, and he's completely put himself in that world. And I know that he scouts games for the Barry Colts. So, you know, good to talk to Todd. Chris, let's talk about the Habs. They traded for Jeff Petrie. They traded for Torrey Mitchell. They traded for Brian Flynn. But when I saw these moves, like, obviously Petrie was a sought-after player at pending UFA, and with such a weak market, you knew he'd get something, hence the second and fifth round picks. But do you think that, you know, guys like Torrey Mitchell and Brian Flynn, who weren't that productive, if at all, with a very, very terrible Buffalo Sabres team, do you think these are key acquisitions?
Marc Bergevin has always said, since he's been part of the Montreal Canadiens, that there are certain players that will bring you to the Stanley Cup. And he's always talked about how depth is so important in an organization. So, yeah, they didn't get the number one scorer that everyone wanted him to get. I mean, it's so hard to do that at the deadline. But these guys are going to for sure be valuable assets. I mean, this fourth line was so bad. I mean, Manny Malhotra, he's a great faceoff guy, and he's a great guy in the room. But if you're going for a playoff run and you think you're a contender, you don't want to have that guy as your fourth line center. The upgrades are for sure going to help. I mean, it just brings a lot of depth, and it brings a lot of competition internally, which brings out the best of the players. Mitchell, he's born in Montreal, and when I listened to him on TSN, he seemed so excited. Like, he said he was shaking. Most guys, you know, they're always a little nervous when they're going there. They're not really excited. You can't really hear them. They're just pretty shocked and nervous. But he said, oh, yeah, I'm shaking. I can't wait to go to Montreal. Like, this guy, he could be the next Dale Weiss of last year's playoff run. And you always want guys like that. Montreal, their secondary scoring is something that's going to struggle. I mean, these guys aren't going to address that situation. Flynn and Mitchell, they'll just be solid penalty killers. And the good thing is they have speed. And if you don't have speed, you can't fit on this team. So they're good depth moves. And like Marc Bergevin says, maybe these are the guys that will bring you to the playoffs and bring you on a run. You got Emerson Edom, who's a couple weeks ago, which is a guy that is going to help you on the playoff run. I mean, Bergevin, he's played in the NHL for 1,000. He's played 1,000 games, so he knows what he's doing. He's been in the Hawks organization, and he's just bringing this team the right way. It may be a different way, but it's the right way. I mean, the market for Jeff Petrie, everyone thought was going to be a first-round pick after we saw Brian Coburn's trade, which was, I think, overpriced crazy. Like, Tampa paid way too much for him. But a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick, conditional fifth-round pick, I mean, that is a steal compared for this market. So I got to be really happy with Marc Bergevin. I think this team, they didn't trade anyone off their roster, which we all knew that this roster was so good and none of these players wanted to see anyone go. It's going to bring an internal fight for positions, which brings out the best of players.
The one thing I really liked about the Habs today was the move that a lot of people almost saw them making with getting Petrie. Petrie is going to join a Montreal Canadiens lineup with Tom Kilbert, Alexei Yemlin, P.K. Subban, Andre Markov, and also with young D. Nathan Boyu and Jared Tenorti. He gets to come in, and he won't be as heavily relied on as he was in Edmonton. Because in Edmonton, with such a lack of D, Petrie was almost asked to be what Dion Phaneuf is in Toronto. So he gets to come in. And this is a Montreal team that's heavily relied on Carey Price throughout the year. Price, in case you've been living under a rock, is having one of the best seasons in modern NHL goaltending history. .936 save percentage, 36 wins, and a GAA under 2. Price has been terrific, and he's been a big reason why Montreal's in the place that they are right now. Like, when you look at that Habs lineup, they are not getting the goals that they need. A lot of their offense comes from their blue line. And I think that adding him can just add a level of depth. Now, in terms of Mitchell and Flynn, I don't know how much they're going to contribute. I don't even know if they'll be dressed throughout the postseason. But I think that today was a good day for them in the sense that they got Petrie, they added more in their blue line. And it's a team that they're going to struggle to score, but they have they have the best goaltender on the planet right now. And they have a blue line that has arguably one of the best defensemen in the game in P.K. Subban. I think Montreal could do some damage in the postseason, but they're still going to have a lack of scoring that's going to hurt them.
And that's the whole issue. Every Habs fan wanted them to get that top three forward, which is close to impossible at the deadline. If you're really talking about a real number one our number three line guy or number one line guy. I mean, Montreal, they don't score, but they haven't been forced to score because they have guys like Price, like you said. He should win the MVP of this year, and he's not going to because he's a goaltender and everyone's going to say, oh, well, Vezina's the trophy for that. This guy has brought this team so far, and I even think he's underrated. He's just starting to get out there for how good he actually is. Like, with the best players in the NHL, you should compare him to Crosby and, like, Shea Weber and, like, Malkin. Even though they're different positions, they're the, like, heads of the NHL. Max Pacioretty, he's a 40-30-year-old guy, and, like, that's one of the only reasons Montreal can actually score. They're actually scary with a scoring threat there. But the scary thing that I look at as a Habs fan in this playoff run is, let's say you're playing the New York Rangers and you have Max Pacioretty, that's your top scorer. Guess who's going to be on you? Every game, McDonough and Girardi are going to be on you. And, I mean, McDonough and Girardi are one of the best pairs together, especially defensively. They can totally take Pacioretty off his game. And then what do you have? You have Plekanec, Galchenyuk, and Gallagher. I mean, Plekanec, he's a solid scorer, but he's not going to go crazy every night. Gallagher, just a solid guy out there. He's not a scorer. And Galchenyuk, we want him to be that scorer, but he hasn't hit that level yet. And when he does, he may explode. They play a defensive style of hockey, and that's the guys they got today were defensive players that'll fit right into this hockey team. It's not like they're going to need time to fit in. They'll fit right in. It's a perfect spot, perfect fit. But that defensive group and that goaltending the Canadians will go as far as Carey Price brings them.
No doubt. And I'm glad you brought up the Rangers and McDonough and Girardi. We'll transfer it here to a trade that happened a few days ago. The New York Rangers acquiring Keith Yandel, Chris Summers, and a fourth-round pick from the Arizona Coyotes. Now, the big thing about this deal, they got Anthony Duclair, John Moore, a first-round pick next year, and a second this year. I think Arizona got a hell of a haul here, giving up a player like Yandel, who obviously has been very important to their franchise, and he's been a very productive player, one of the most productive offensive players in the league. But New York paid quite a premium, but I give credit to the Rangers in the sense that, you know, the Eastern Conference is so unpredictable, and for years it's been Boston, and Montreal has been near the top of the rankings as well, but it seems like a little less clear this year. You've got your Islanders, your Tampa Bay Lightning. The Rangers have been one of the better teams in the East this year, and then obviously you can't forget your Pittsburgh, your Detroit. I think that the Rangers, in acquiring Yandel, you've set yourself up now where, if you look at that blue line, you've got, like you said, McDonough, Girardi, Mark Stahl, Dan Boyle. This is a blue line that's very good, and I think that a player like Yandel can only improve.
Yeah, I mean, it was a steep price. I mean, this is a trade that New York's saying, we want to win for the next 2 years. But Anthony Duclair, that is your top prospect. He's an A-plus prospect. He's going to be a 20-30 goal scorer. He's the guy you wanted on your team. And they're going to regret that trade. Ranger fans, happy yesterday. And maybe I'll eat my words. If they win the Stanley Cup, I won't even care about it. I mean, you won a Stanley Cup. You traded Duclair. You had to. But Duclair is a piece that you build off of. And I really, when I saw that trade, I really wanted Montreal to be after him, after Yandel. But when I saw that trade, I just thought, that is probably in 2 years, 3 years, we're going to say how bad of a trade that was. The New York Rangers, they're a great team. But do you not agree? Do you not think that was an overpriced? Like, that is, I think, I when I first saw that, I laughed. I thought that was a joke.
Oh, of course it's an overpriced. Of course they paid too much. But I think what I'll give Glenn Sather credit for, and I think Sather's taken so much abuse for how he's handled the Rangers over the year, and a lot of it rightfully so. But I think when you make a move like this, you look at the Rangers this year, Rick Nash is having one of his bounce-back seasons. He really is incredible this year. He's on pace for almost 50 goals. Derek Brassard has been great. Martin St. Louis, they were able to re-up Zuccarello, which is huge. I think they've got a very good lineup. And like you said, they did give up a steep price. Duclair is a top-tier prospect, and him and Max Domi, who looked so good together at the World Juniors this Christmas, they're going to love it in Arizona. And when you, not to mention, the first-round pick, especially in this year's draft, where right up until the end of the round, you've got players who a lot of scouts think are going to be career NHLers. It is a steep price, but I think the Rangers had to make a move. especially when you consider so many players are clicking. You've got arguably one of the number two or three best goalies on the planet in Henrik Lundqvist. This is your time. And I think that, well, like we said, I keep repeating myself, it was a steep price, but the Rangers had to pay it. And I think they're better off for it because Keith Yandle is going to come in. He's not going to have to play a ton of minutes, and he's going to be able to be on the power play and contribute.
Yeah, I mean, in that power play, I think they're ranked 14th in the NHL. The one nice part of the Coyotes season this year, they're 5th in the NHL. And it's Yandle and Oliver Ekman-Larsson that were the pieces that got him to that. I think the Coyotes totally just mesmerized me. They totally got everything they should have got out of those players they traded. I mean, this team, they have, I want to know how many, I haven't seen how many draft picks they have, but these next 2 years, they have to be an abundant amount. Duclair and Domi, we saw, like you said, the World Juniors, their chemistry was amazing and just caught on like that. I mean, this team is worse than the Buffalo Sabres right now on paper. They really go fail and they really do struggle this at the end of this year. And they get McDavid. I mean, or Eichel. Like, this is a scary team in a couple of years. And Oliver Ekman-Larsson is one of the most underrated defensemen out there.
Arizona, they made out like bandits today. I mean, not to mention, like, they got the first-round pick in the Yandle trade. They get a first-round pick from the Vermette trade.
Yeah,
they've already got their pick this year who could end up being, like you said, McDavid or Eichel. Not to mention, they're tanking for next season as well when they can have a chance at Arizona native Austin Matthews. This team, like, they're setting themselves up for, yeah, it's going to suck. It's no one shows up anyway, so we might as well suck right now and compile as many assets as we can. Good for the Coyotes. As much as people always talk about winners and losers at the trade deadline, and in my personal opinion, there's only one winner. It's the team who lifts the cup at the end of the year. But in terms of what they had to do and what their options were, Arizona made out like bandits today. Chris, we got about 3-ish minutes left. We're going to hit up on a couple of quick notes. Today, in the last hour of the deadline, Toronto Maple Leafs traded career franchise amazing star Olli Jokinen to the San Luis Blues for Joakim Lindstrom and a conditional 6th-round pick, which could be a 4th-round pick depending on how the Blues do in the playoffs and how Jokinen does with the team. Quick thoughts on the trade. I thought it was pretty good value on Toronto's behalf. They had to take on Jokinen's contract to complete the Cody Franzen deal. What say you?
I'm just happy Olli Jokinen got out of Toronto, you know? I think he's played 6 playoff games, and now he's actually going to go to a team that has a chance of making the playoffs or actually being a contender this year. And, you know, the guy hated it there. I think he knew he was going to get traded, and so it's good that he got out of there and he's going to a contender.
All things considered, too, if that pick ends up being more than the 7th or 6th round pick that it might be, good for Toronto. They got quick value. Trade that happened today. One that kind of made me scratch my head, the Vancouver Canucks got Sven Barchi from the Calgary Flames for a 2nd-round pick. Barchi was the 13th overall pick in 2011, and he had over 179 points in 2 years with Portland in the Dub. A very productive player in junior, but he struggled to make it in the NHL. Quick, what are your thoughts on the Barchi trade?
Well, Barchi's agent actually asked him to get traded. Calgary wasn't putting him in their lineup. They weren't using him right. And hopefully he can thrive with the Canucks. But right now, I mean, we haven't seen much from him. And he's supposed to be this big prospect for the Flames, and he really hasn't shown that. So hopefully he can do well with the Canucks and prove him a good NHL player.
A few other moves. The Bruins. In the last episode, I was talking about how the Bruins should just stand pat, not worry about the Krejcik injury. But instead, they acquired Max Talbot from Colorado for Jordan Carson. Carson was a first-round pick in 2009, hasn't amounted to much. And Talbot's last productive season was in 2012. And also, like they said, they got Conley for 2 second-round picks. Quick thoughts on that deal?
Yeah, Talbot would have been a good pickup in 2010. I think it's a little late for his career. And good luck, Bruins fans. This isn't going to be a good year for you.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone, to the Trade Deadline Show. Follow me at Hunter Crowther. Follow him at Chris Shannon.